Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2, 15b through 20. Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. The much-anticipated day has come, the birth of our Lord. And now we wait for the promised day of his second return, to which there is no known day or hour given for man to know. Only the Father in heaven knows when he will send his only begotten Son to return this time, not as a babe, but as a king and as a conqueror. Our Christmas Eve service completes the night with the lighting of the candles and the singing of Silent Night by the congregation. On the night when Jesus was born, the announcement of his birth was made to the shepherds in the field as the angel Gabriel announced his divine birth. The shepherds quickly traveled to the edge of town where the stable was located, and there they were witnesses to this miraculous birth. The wise men would travel to Bethlehem at a later date. By estimates as to the order that Herod gave to kill the male children in Bethlehem, it would have been within a couple of years of Jesus' birth. Yet the star lit the path for these men to travel by, and the majesty of his birth was still present by creation's display in the heavens. As the song Silent Night describes the scene when Jesus was born, it can be seen as a humble beginning. But when he returns, it will not be silence being observed, but the sound of a trumpet announcing his coming. Matthew 24:30-31. At that time the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angel with a trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heavens to the other. And in Luke 17:24, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. And from Revelation 1:7, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore encourage each other with these words. You see, generations of families had heard of the wonderful things God had done for his people Israel. But they would forget these things when led astray by the rulers and the teachers of the law of God's law, and when they bought into deceitful ways and purposes. It can be considered part and parcel to what is happening today. Many have fallen into the snare of deception. They don't know or seek to understand the full counsel of God. They don't care to understand what the old has to do with the new. They only see how the new now seems old and outdated. They have been led to believe that it is God's word that must be adjusted and not man's actions. And so after generations of wolves infiltrating the fold, the church, the apostasy taking place leaves many on paths leading into the darkness, and truth will call for them to reconsider if they are ready for the rapture, to meet Jesus and accept the truths in who he is and the promise of his second coming. How can 5 minutes a day in the Word cover one's hunger and thirst for God? Does how I feel about it all matter more than the truth really being unfolded before me? Apostasy means the abandonment of one's religious faith. It means turning and walking away from what you know to be true about God and taking up the mantle of an idol. By choosing an idol, another over God, it means that you have decided to pick and choose the truths that make you feel good about yourself and how you have chosen to live. It means that you reject God's conviction, his discipline and correcting, and you would rather change the context of God's word or leave it behind you to take the pressure off of you as you build a cradle to pacify your sin, lulling life to sleep in the trenches of death and condemnation. You would rather judge by being offended than have to change yourself. And finally, you want to be taught rather than study. Give someone else the responsibility of your salvation in life rather than study, and show yourself approved. But 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Have you ever considered the cost of discipleship, or only focused on the prosperity of his blessings? Luke 14:27-28, and whoever does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus speaking. Which of you wishing to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost to see if he has the resources to complete it? And yes, we do. Otherwise, if he lays the foundation and is unable to finish the work, everyone who sees it will ridicule him. Jesus requires of us intentionality, commitment, the pursuit of spiritual growth, the desire to finish the race, finishing strong and standing firm. Counting the cost necessitates our understanding of the sacrifices and the challenges involved in following Christ. Nowhere does it say that the journey will be easy, but it does say you will never travel its path alone. And that brings us back to the shepherds in the field the night of Jesus' birth. These men were the outcasts of the community. They were considered uneducated and unskilled, and yet daily these men faced great dangers from predators and those places hidden from plain sight that could swallow a man and his flock, or the waters that filled the mountains from the mountain streams from the storms and rushed across the desert in the wadis, taking with them everything in their path. And so when these same men saw something extraordinarily different from anything they had seen before, they arose and they left from where they were in the fields, and they went into Bethlehem to see this thing that the Lord's messenger had told them about. And just as they had been told, there lying in the manger was the child. About this birth, prophecies foretold much of what was to come in the fulfillment of his birth, of his life, of his death, and his resurrection. What was told the shepherds, what they saw with their own eyes, they proclaimed to all who would listen. Luke 2:18, and when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So what is wrong with us today? Why do we run away from the excitement that filled the shepherds that night? Why are we silent about the birth of our Lord? Why do we withhold the telling of what he has done? And why do we not shout and exclaim, he's coming back. Jesus is going to return. We are to be ready for his return. And to us he gives the command to further the work of his kingdom. Matthew 28:19-20a, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That hope given you by God, that hope shown you by the events recorded in God's word, and by the transformation taking place in your life. Because if Christ is in you, you cannot stay as you once were. After meeting him, spending time in his presence in prayer, and after being witness to the wonderful deeds he has done, both those of old and today, our new, we must, like the shepherds, tell everyone what we have seen and what we have heard. We must, like Mary, treasure, to preserve, to keep, to maintain, and guard closely all these things, because like Mary, we have already or will yet see it come to pass. Pain, suffering, and sacrifice, as they will call upon us to either be the recipients of or witnesses to. But by our pondering, on thinking deeply about those things we consider concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the things past, present, and yet to come, our lives will be richer for seeking his face, fuller for the discipline he has called us to, and we will be found wanting everyone to meet to know our Lord and Savior and the wonder of His love. And so may you be found treasuring your times with the Lord, pondering, considering, reflecting on where you were, where you are today, and the hope that is yours by God's grace for tomorrow. You see, we once stood amongst the condemned, but because we too wanted to see this thing we were told about, we now have seen Him. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And finally, we are reminded in John 14:2a and 3, in My Father's house are many rooms, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and welcome you into My presence, so that you may also be where I am. We have celebrated again this year the birth of Christ Jesus, and now wait for His return. Be assured, He is coming again.